Gospel Baptist Church Wednesday night Bible study, and we are continuing on in our series of discovering the Bible, going through the Bible. So let's talk about what we've discovered so far. We are now in coming towards the end of the Old Testament chronologically, and So last week we talked about, just bring us up to speed, a family became a nation in Egypt. That was Israel becoming a nation in Egypt, and that was led by theocratic rule, which means that God is, of course, ruler. And then a monarchy was established under Saul, then David, and then Solomon, and there was a united kingdom for over 110 years. Okay? And then under Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the kingdom was divided, and the northern kingdom of Israel fell to Assyria in 722 BC. Then we had a series of revivals under different kings. The first king we talked about Rehoboam following Solomon. I'm just going to quickly get past all this. The revival, the first king was King Asa, and God used him in a wonderful way. Unfortunately, he got lifted up with pride. And his three major accomplishments were, he put away strange gods. What? It's completely off. Okay. Thank you. Is that better? Okay. So he put away strange gods. He caused people to seek the Lord by covenant. And he removed his mother from being Queen Maacah because she was idolatrous. Okay. And then he gained loyalties from the northerners. And they came down because they saw that the Lord was with them. That was King Asa. The next king was King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat removed the high places. He was compared with which king? Who was Jehoshaphat compared with?
David.
Good. Okay. And he caused the people to seek the law. And also, he did something really wicked. Strong, isn't it? Foolish. What did the king? And I think Jehoshaphat was a great king, but he did something really foolish. What did he do?
Joined with
Ahab, okay, wicked King Ahab, and the daughter, he married his son off to Ahab's daughter, and that Ahab's daughter was called Athaliah. Yeah, bad woman. Okay, the next king was, he was warned by the prophet Micaiah. Then the next prophet, or next king, should I say, was Joash, and first of all, Athaliah killed all the seed royal. And who rescued Joash? Do you remember who rescued Joash when Athaliah tried to kill everybody? What was the name of the high priest? Not Zedekiah, but Jehoiada. And Jashabiah was his wife, okay? And but Joash, during Jehoiada's reign, did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And what did he do? Do you remember what he did? Collected money. Do you remember? Collected money for the building of the rebuilding of the temple. Okay. So that's talking about God's promise as being unconditional. And he began to repair the temple. And unfortunately, he was influenced by his bad friends, I suppose. And what did he do? What did Joash do after Jehoiada the king died? What did he do? Remember what he did? He had who stoned, put to death? Jehoiada's son. Do you remember? Okay, Zechariah was Jehoiada's son. Okay, then we talk about King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah is again one of my favorite kings, and he led a great revival. That's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 to 31, and that is wonderful. Immediately he started being used of God. And then the king of Assyria sent Sennacherib to Judah. And who did Hezekiah turn to? Do you remember? The prophet. What prophet is it?
Isaiah.
You got it. Great. Good job, guys. It's hard to remember all this stuff, but I'm just seeing what you would remember about this, but no harm. Okay. And he miraculously overcame Assyria. And the Bible says, when they woke up, they were all what? Dead men. I love that phrase in the Bible. 185,000 people were all put to death by the angel of the Lord. Aren't you glad that God fights our battles? That was Hezekiah, okay? But he made a serious political mistake. Do you remember what his serious political mistake was? He showed his riches to the Babylonians, okay, again, and a few, about a century and a half later, the Babylonians would come in and take that away from them. Would it be a century and a half later? I'm trying to think of the, I think maybe, let's say a century later, anyway. And unfortunately, Hezekiah said, well, praise God, it won't be during my reign. Wrong response, okay. So, but he had a tremendously wicked son. What was the name of Hezekiah's son?
Manasseh.
And then we saw, do you remember what we said last week? What was recorded in the end of 2 Chronicles?
Manasseh.
That is amazing, isn't it? Isaiah records Manasseh. 2 Kings records Manasseh. Both of them said they were a wicked king. He was a wicked king. 2 Chronicles records his repentance. Praise God for his mercy. Now, the next king we're going to deal with, the final king who saw a revival, the final good king of Judah, who is he?
Josiah,
that's why we named Josiah. We named him after that. Okay, let's turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. Second Kings chapter 22. I'm going too slow here, sorry about this. Speed up. 2 Kings chapter 22. And it says here in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Wow. Any 8-year-olds in here? Nope, not today.
I used to be 8.
You used to be 8? Okay, who's the closest to 8 in here? I think that has to be Hadassah, okay? Hadassah, in a few years' time, you can be the queen over all of Ireland.
3 years, you're fine.
3 years' time, you can be a queen.
She can do it.
8 years, she can't do any worse. Okay, but 8 years of age, Josiah reigned over Israel. Wow. Okay. Now, 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 tells us why. He began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. Okay. I have a wrong reference there. Okay. And let me see where that is. He did what was right, verse 2. In the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Now, the reason why was because his father was killed. Now, let's read verse 24 in the previous chapter. Maybe that's what, I'm not sure how there was a wrong reference there. But it says here, verse 23 of the previous chapter, the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew the king in his own house, and the people of the land slew all them that conspired against King Ammon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. Now the rest of the acts of Ammon which he did are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in the sepulchre in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. So there's the build up to that, okay? Now, what's the first thing that Josiah did? He was a good king. In fact, he was a great king for his time. What do you think he would have done, the first thing he would have done? As a good king after a wicked reign of all the kings.
Bring back exactly.
That's exactly what he did. So to do so, he commanded the temple to be repaired. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'll keep my marker there in 2 Kings chapter 22. But 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Verse 21. Let's look at verse 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king's servants of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah. Now, why does it say them that are left in Israel and Judah? What was going on? This is the last good king of Judah. What historically had happened? What do you know about what had happened up to this point? Assyria had taken much of Israel and planted them in Iraq and Iran, modern day Iraq and Iran, okay? So a lot of people were taken out of Israel. So he's saying, well, who's left? But could I just say as well, Assyria also came into Judah and took and took down their fenced cities. That happened during the reign of Hezekiah. Remember, Hezekiah spread his letter before the Lord. We talked about that last week. And because Sennacherib was coming in, but he didn't make his way to Jerusalem. God protected Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is a small city about the size of Lucan. Do you know what I'm saying? Back then, it was about 2 square miles. That's what Jerusalem was. And so Sennacherib had come in, and he'd taken down fenced cities, and he'd taken people away captive. The final captivity, when was the captivity? The final captivity when Babylon took people out of Jerusalem to Babylon. What year was that? Do you remember? 586 BC, right? But in 610 BC, there was a captivity. Daniel was taken. And then in 597, there was another captivity. And some other people were taken. And 586 was the third captivity. But the reason why we call it the final captivity, and the captivity when Babylon took Jerusalem, was because that's when they broke into Jerusalem, so to speak. And they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple in Jerusalem, 586 BC. Are you with me here? But there were previous captivities up to that point. And so they were making all these sorties, so to speak, on Israel. So there was a lot of people gone. You with me here? Just so you know what's going on when you're reading your Bibles here. So it says here in verse 21, Josiah, knowing all this was going, knowing he was up against it, knowing him, he was in the minority, knowing there was this world power staring down the barrel of his gun at Josiah, so to speak, said, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. Now, what book do you think they found? What does the Bible say that they found? Okay, well, you're saying what it might be, you could be right, but what does the Bible say they found? Do you remember what it says? It says the book of the law. Now, the law could be the Old Testament. The law could be the book of Deuteronomy. The law could be the first five books of the Bible called what?
The Torah
or the Pentateuch. Could be, that's a Greek name. Torah is a Hebrew name. Pentateuch is the Greek. Pentateuch is the Greek name. Okay, Pentateuch meaning five, Duke, law, five law. No, I can't remember what Duke is actually. Pentateuch or five something. Anyway, I can't remember right now. Anyway, scroll. Anyway, so the point I'm trying to make is the Torah is the law. Okay, the first five books of the Bible. The law could be the Ten Commandments, but most likely more than Ten Commandments. Many scholars believe it was actually the book of Deuteronomy they found. What could be? It could have been a whole Old Testament. Could have been the Torah. Many believe it was Deuteronomy. Okay, now. So they found this book. And it says here, in verse 21, for great is the wrath of the Lord which is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the words of the Lord to do after all that's written in this book. Now, what's written in the law, and this is why they think it's Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. Deuteronomy, second law, second giving of the law. Okay, Deuteronomy. And so, in Deuteronomy, what's recorded? What do you think they were looking at? Could be the Ten Commandments, but maybe even more than that. Because there were 613, remember? So what do you think they might have been looking? They could have been looking at the Ten Commandments, but maybe a bit more than that. What's written in the book of Deuteronomy, do you remember? Something very specific regarding Israel. It was a book, the law was a covenant between God and man. What did God require of Israel?
To keep his law.
And what would happen if they didn't keep the law?
Curses,
that's exactly right. That's why they believe it's Deuteronomy, because Deuteronomy, scholars believe it's Deuteronomy, because that's the book that carries the curses. It could have been the whole Torah, but can you work with me and just say, let's pretend it's Deuteronomy, because we don't know for sure. So they found Deuteronomy, let's say, and at least it must have been in there, because the curses were there, and it says here in verse 21, the wrath, for great is the wrath, this is Josiah speaking, great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that was written in this book. They're reading the law. Oh, didn't know that. Oh, didn't know that. When you got saved, when you started reading the Bible, were your eyes opened or what?
Absolutely.
And you realized, oh, I wasn't doing that. Oh, didn't know that. Oh. Or maybe when you got saved, you were going to a church that preached the word of God, and then you find yourself in the church that you're hearing the word of God, like, oh, wow. Do you know what I'm saying? Your eyes are just open. It's a eureka moment. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I mean by eureka moment? Okay, I don't want to go into the history of it because it's interesting. But the Archimedes, I won't talk about what he found out. It was a scientific study. But it was a eureka moment. He said eureka because he was Greek and something else happened. But we'll leave it at that. But it was a eureka moment. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. No, we're here. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 21. There's so much that could be said, so much could be said here. Okay, so he became king as a child at the age of eight. He commanded the temple be repaired, and then they found a book of the law. The Bible records the same praise of Josiah as it did Hezekiah, and his devotion to God exceeded all the other kings. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. I'd love to go into all this, we don't have time, folks, but it's just such great stuff. It says here, we're talking about Josiah here, verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Wow. That is quite the commendation, isn't it? I was just thinking about Moses today. Has anybody gone through the Bible, in a year? You know, maybe a few of you have gone through that. I was in Exodus chapter 24 today, and I was thinking about the Lord calling Moses to go up to the mount to receive the Ten Commandments and all 613 commandments, right? God called Moses, and Moses said, well, what about, and God says, I want Aaron and Hur and the priests, you know, to be Nadab and Abihu to come up. And Moses said to God, but you said that they weren't to go past the bounds of it, they'd be struck through, they'd die. And God said, they're to stay at this certain point at the base of the mountain. And God says, only you are allowed up to the mountain. Why do you think God allowed Moses up to the mountain all on his own? Okay, you are theologically correct. But do you think there's more? So you're saying he was the mediator? Yes, you're right, he was the mediator of the Old Testament. That is correct. But do you think there's a bit more to it than that? Why Moses?
God, what? Did God know that, well, of course he did, that Aaron would sin with the calf maybe?
God knows everything. Yeah, because Moses would have clean hands rather than Aaron, because Aaron found it easy to listen to the voices of people rather than listen to the voice of God. He was influenced by public opinion. Not a good trait when you're in leadership. And somebody asked, why do you think God allowed Moses?
He's just chosen.
Chosen.
God does things not because of our merit, but because, especially with the whole plan of Israel, they're his chosen people.
Okay, and again, you're theologically correct. God, not him that will, him that will, but God showed mercy. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 bring that out. But let me just say this. Isn't it interesting that the man God chose was meek above all the men upon the earth? Isn't it interesting that the people God uses in leadership seek him like nobody else sometimes? Now, not everybody's like that. But look at Josiah, look at Hezekiah, how they sought the Lord. Those are tremendous, how to compare to David, tremendous leadership qualities, people who seek the Lord. Now, the sweeping revival of Josiah is described in 2 Kings chapter 22 to 23, all the things that he did. And let's quickly look through that. I don't have time to go through this because I want to comment about some things. It says he was 8 years of age, verse 4, he said, go to the Hilkiah, the high priest, and he may find how much silver there is, let him deliver it. They got carpenters, masons, they fenced up the house of the Lord, they gathered the money, verse 9, and then the verse 13, it's verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he read, verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest had delivered me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. Came to pass, verse 11, when the king had read the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. It's called the book of the law. Could have been the Torah, could have been Deuteronomy, but that was the book that we talked about. And verse 15, they talked to the prophetess, and she said, "Tell the man to send you, thus saith the Lord, verse 16, I'll bring evil upon the inhabitants because of what Manasseh did." Do you remember we talked about that? Okay, verse 17. But verse 19, God says, "Because you've humbled yourself, Josiah, it won't happen in your days." And it says in verse chapter 23, the king sent and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah. And he said, "I want you to make a covenant." And he made them make a covenant before the Lord in chapter 23. Now, I'm going through all this for a reason, okay? I want you to realize there was a revival in 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23, led by Josiah. It was the combined efforts of Hezekiah and Josiah that the high priests and the groves were finally removed from Judah. Yet the revival was short-lived. I want us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to show you something here, folks. So what happened in those chapters, again, I probably did do a very good job trying to pinpoint some things, but you could read it in your own time, 2 Kings chapter 22, 2 Kings chapter 23. It seemed like a revival. Why was it short-lived? What happened? Well, let me ask you a question. Was Asbury a revival? Was Asbury a revival that just happened? And it happened 40 years ago. Was it a revival? I'm going to put myself out on a limb. I'm going to say no. No. Because, and here's the reason why, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, okay? And that he's the son of Ammon, which we know already. And verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Before I formed thee," and he's speaking to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet." And then Jeremiah says, "I can't do this." And God says in verse 8, "Don't be afraid of their faces." Great verse for preaching. Don't look at people's faces if they're not happy with what you're saying. Just speak the word of God, okay? Great, great, great verse, okay? And it says, verse 10, "See, I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." You can't plant until you pluck up first. You with me here? Let me say that again. You can't plant until you pluck up first. You with me here? So I'm asking the question, was Asbury a revival? And then by implication, I'm going to ask the question, was what happened in the days of Josiah a genuine revival? Let's look at this. Verse 13. "And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? I said, I see a seething pot." Verse 14. "Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north, "an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, and they shall come, and they shall set everyone on his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem." Verse 16, "And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness." Now hold on a second here, brethren. This is during the days of Josiah. And what's God saying? "I am dealing with their wickedness, who have forsaken me. And they burnt incense unto their gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands." Verse 17, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise and speak unto them." Now chapter 2. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, and the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness." And God is lamenting the old days when Israel used to walk with God. Verse 4, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord," verse 5, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they've gone far from me, and they've walked after vanity, and have become vain?" And it says here, verse 7, "And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. You entered, ye defiled on my land, made my heritage an abomination." And let me say, what God's people did, what the wicked nations were doing. Okay, there's something going on there. So God's people did what the wicked nations were doing. Okay? And look what it says here. Verse 9. "Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead." And then he talks about some other things. I'm just trying to see, there was a specific verse I was looking for. It says that they built cisterns which could hold no water. I can't remember where that verse is. I thought it was verse 16, but I don't see it there. Verse what?
13.
13, is it? Okay. For my people have committed to evil. Thank you. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Now you tell me, was that a genuine revival during the days of Josiah? The theologians and commentators call it revival. I'm not going to argue with them. But Jeremiah was a contemporary of all these men. And Jeremiah said, this is what God sees. Was it a genuine revival? No. Why? Why? Why was it not a genuine revival? Why was it not a genuine corporate revival? What was missing?
Lasting change.
Lasting change. And that makes the difference between a revival that's true and an emotional experience. And see, what happens is people who don't know their Bibles get caught up in the emotional experience, and that's what they always look for, this emotional experience. And what's God looking for, brethren?
Isn't that what repentance is?
That is exactly what repentance is. That's exactly what was missing was repentance. Yeah.
Yeah, and to distinguish your habit, it's your
attribute to
your
life.
Okay. Could you give a definition of what revival is and is not, as far as is it salvation?
When I talk about revival, I'm talking about among God's people, where God's people forsake their idolatry and their old ways and the ways of the flesh to walk with the Almighty. That's what revival is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, revival is when God's people forsake the flesh and they walk in the Spirit. Okay? And they are living in submission to the Lord, fulfilling His word, being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's revival, isn't it? You live a Spirit-filled life, you're living in revival, right? Okay, we all understand. And we all... No, we could improve in that, okay? So we all desire revival. We all desire to live a spiritual life the way we should, okay? That's a very, very good thing. It's a noble aspiration. But in what Josiah did, brethren, Josiah, my hat goes off, like my work hat, to Josiah. Fair play to him. But it wasn't his fault. He did everything right. But you see, the thing is, and I'll get to that in a second. He did everything right. He was zealous for God. And people will make a covenant because they're following the leadership of the king, but it has to come from the heart. People will never see revival until they want revival from their own hearts. Does that make sense? It's going to come from a passionate desire in your own heart. I want this between me and God. And God has at times poured out a wonderful revival, and by His sovereign grace brought people under great conviction. And do you know how you know it's real? Because it lasts. The first great awakening in America, I can't remember and it was in Europe as well, but the first great awakening in America, I can't remember the figures, but it lasted like 100 years. The Sandy Creek Revival, I think, is one of the longest lasting revivals in America, and it lasted 100 years. That's revival. The Welsh Revival, you know, in 1904, and I know though it had its lots of issues, but people got saved, and it made the British and Wales and all the Great Britain saw revival during those period of time, and England was and Britain was Christianized. Do you understand what I'm saying? And Dublin, we saw a bit of revival in the 70s. You say, how do you know? Because I know lots of people who got saved back then and started living for the Lord, and they lived for the Lord for years. There's been movements of God, but it's got to be real, and it's got to produce lasting change. And we need that again. Would you agree with that? A work of the Spirit of God. Okay? But these things are theologically called revivals because kings were trying to seek revivals, and there was a measure of revival. But God can see right through it. What He's looking for is lasting change. Unfortunately, it wasn't going to last because there was no lasting change. Now, so the Lord then allowed Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 23. Unfortunately, Josiah made a great error at the end of his short life. He only lived 39, 40 years. 2 Kings chapter 23, verse. Does anybody remember what he did?
He went to war.
He went to war with who? Does anybody remember?
Pharaoh.
Okay. Verse 29 and 30. Brother Brandon, will you read those two verses?
Yeah, chapter 30.
2 Kings chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. His life shouldn't have ended that way. God told him not to go up. He was stubborn. And he did what he shouldn't have done. He got lifted up with pride probably a little bit. You know, God's with me. God's blessing. And he wasn't listening to the prophets. Probably he thought he was above the prophets. He did that. But Cyrus was still a great king, wasn't he? God used him. Because you're looking at the times. These were evil. And Manasseh had just reigned. Manasseh had brought all sorts of vileness and wickedness. And he may have repented. But the changes he brought did not equal the damage he'd done, did they? And so Josiah comes along, and Josiah was a man of God. He really was. But unfortunately, he got lifted up in pride, I suppose, and went to battle against the king of Egypt, and he shouldn't have. But anyway, Josiah, who was allied with Babylon, went to king with the battles with Necho of Egypt in hopes of stopping his army from joining the Assyrian army to war against Babylon. This proved to be fatal, and he was slain in battle. By the time Necho arrived, Babylon had already defeated Assyria and its allies, so he didn't even have to do it. That's the crazy thing. In spite of Josiah's revival, in reaction to the reading of the law, the prophet Jehoshaphat informed him that God's judgment would come upon Judah because of Manasseh's wickedness. We read that a few minutes ago. After Josiah, a quick succession of four kings followed. They were all evil. That's sad, because Josiah did not leave a legacy behind, did he? That was a shame. In 606 BC, the Babylonians besieged Jerusalem, carried away captives to Babylon. I said 610, so correction, 606 here. And that began the 70-year captivity. In 586 BC, that was the third captivity, because there was 597 before that. So the third one, 586 BC, during the reign of Judah's last king, Zedekiah, Jerusalem was burned and Solomon's temple was destroyed. Okay, some important themes. During the time of the divided kingdom, God worked to make sure that there was always a remnant of people who remained faithful to him. He preserved his faithful line through the two tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that is, and the faithful few who left the other 10 tribes to join Judah. In spite of Satan's attacks, God made sure that the line of the Messiah was not eliminated, especially during the time of that wicked queen. What was her name? Her daughter? Athaliah. That's exactly right. So that will bring us up to next week. We will talk about the last four kings. Any questions on that? Okay, so what are some lessons we can learn from all this? Any particular lesson we can give? One lesson we can learn from all this?
Even the best of people
walking
with the Lord.
We saw that several times. So be careful not to follow people. Follow the Lord. Get rock solid in your Bible, and then you won't be crushed when men fall. Is that okay? Get rock solid in your Bible. That's a good lesson. There you go. Let's pray. Father,